Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Father, for any of us in the room today that may feel disconnected or lonely, realizing the void in connecting with others, I pray that you would lift them up today, that they would feel like they can belong here, that this would be a place that they can find connection and purpose. Lord, for those of us in the room today that are struggling with finances, we're experiencing anxiety because of that, I pray that you would encourage us right now to know that you supply our every need, that would not just be a line that we recite, but a truth that we believe. Lord, for those of us in the room today that have received a diagnosis or are struggling with illness or sickness, I pray that your healing hand would come upon us. Lord, for those of us that are discouraged in the room today, I pray that your spirit would rush into our hearts right now and encourage us. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. That is a truth that we hold on to in this moment and the moments that will come this week when we're tempted to not believe that. And when those moments come where we're tempted to not believe that, God, we ask that you would remind us of your presence. Great is your faithfulness. And we ask all this and pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever had someone tell you that you look like a celebrity? I don't know if you have, but this week I was thinking about this idea of celebrity lookalikes, and you know the kids call it celebrity doppelganger. But I was thinking about some of my friends here on staff at Legacy Church, I immediately thought that you know, hey, it would be fun to look up or to research, and it's very extensive research, okay? This process takes many, many milliseconds. Who are the celebrity lookalikes for some of our staff friends? And so beginning with my good friend Jeff Coleman, virtual pastor, and his celebrity lookalike is none other than Seth Rogen. Next is my friend Cindy Williams, children's ministry assistant. Don't leave, you got to stay in here. And her celebrity lookalike is Marsha Harden. There you go. Maybe just maybe put a Dunkin' gift card in my box here. It'd be great. You guys, I'm smarter than that to mess up that, okay? Pastor Nate Nielsen, I mean, who is his celebrity lookalike? It's obvious. Quentin Tarantino. Okay. This is very exact, okay? If you're wondering the process, it's very exact. And, you know, I thought I can't just, you know, throw my friends on staff under the bus. I got to do it myself. And so my celebrity lookalike came back as Lance Bass. He's in sync, so yeah, and hair. So, I mean, it's obviously the hair. Anyway, that's all I got, and it's been great. Let's just pray and be done. But you think about the similarities. Maybe there's actually not very few similarities in some of those, but this idea that you look like someone else, that you bear their image, that there's a bit of conformity, and the thought that that you represent or look like someone else. And we're continuing this series that we have called Foundations. And these are foundational truths that we believe as a church, not only as Legacy Church, but we are part of a wider movement of churches across not only the country, but around the world. And these foundational truths are essential and critical to who we are as a church. And I think this is a really powerful series, whether you've been a part of Legacy Church for many years or whether you're newer to Legacy, to understand who we are as a church. And last week we kicked off the series talking about Jesus is the subject. And I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, to go back and watch the message, because that is really the starting point for everything that we do. That Jesus is the point. That we ought to be about Jesus. And sometimes churches can get off and be about other things, about preference or style or this and that. But we want to be all about Jesus because we believe Jesus is the reason that we exist. And today we're talking about the second part of this, and that is holiness. This idea that we are to look like and reflect God in this world. Now, when I say the word holiness, what do you think of? What comes to mind? I think sometimes this idea of holiness might seem like it's archaic, like it's something that maybe Christ followers from hundreds of years ago were all about, but it's not really a current thing. And the reality is that the word holiness is mentioned 600 times in Scripture. So I think if something is mentioned 600 times, it tells me we ought to be at least familiar with it and learning what it means to be holy. And sometimes when we hear the word holiness, we associate it maybe with a list of do's and don'ts. And maybe, you know, if you're around my age, I'm 41, and I remember growing up, I could not watch The Simpsons. My mom said, you know what, you're a Christian, you don't watch The Simpsons. I started watching The Simpsons after I left the house and went to college, but that's another story. But maybe you can identify, you know, these are the things that you do and these are the things that you don't do if you're a Christian. I went through a phase where I thought I could only listen to Christian music. And I, you know, you have those music phases, right? You're into different styles. And believe it or not, there was a brief time where I was into rap. That's right. I mean, I know I have some street cred there. But, and so I thought, well, I like rap, so I'm going to listen to rap music. And the only Christian rap group I could find, they were called the Gospel Gangstas. Okay? And it was pronounced Gangstas. And I know that you can associate Gangstas with me, but just try to envision the Gospel Gang. The cover of their CD was a casket. It was like, okay, this is just, you know, but maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there were some movies that you thought you couldn't watch if you were a Christ follower, music you couldn't listen to if you were a Christ follower. And so we associate it maybe with do's and don'ts, but I think others of us might associate the idea of holiness with maybe this unattainable sort of out there thing that sounds good, that yeah, holiness, but we're not sure that's even possible. Like it's this unreachable status as a person of faith. That holiness is just sort of way out there and I'm way over here. And I mean, if you've met me, you know I'm not holy. And maybe you think the same way. That it's just sort of this idea that's not really attainable. It's perfection that's not reachable. And so we get discouraged. We think, well, you know, we get discouraged with our own life and in pursuing holiness. I think, well, that's just for like the people, like the very spiritual elite. There's only been a few people in maybe in history, like Mother Teresa. I mean, she was holy, but me, absolutely not. I mean, so we get discouraged or we get disillusioned. We hear about holiness and we think, well, that's not for me, that's for someone else. But what I want us to walk away with today is this truth that holiness is not just this idea that's out there. It's not just this list of do's and don'ts. If we are a Christ follower, it is what we are to be pursuing with our life. That our life is to be about holiness. That is not some moral, legalistic way of living, but it is a path to experiencing true joy in Jesus. I like what Jerry Bridges defines holiness as. He says, holiness is conformity to the character of God. You and I are created in God's image, in God's likeness. Genesis 1 tells us that from the very beginning, creation, God created us in His image to bear His image, to reflect His image to this world. And holiness is conforming to the character of God. I think pursuing holiness, there's some obstacles there. One is, I think we focus too much on ourselves. And when you focus on yourselves, the pursuit of holiness becomes even more challenging. Because when it becomes about me, then it's not about God. I think the second challenge, the second maybe roadblock in the pursuit of holiness is that we don't take sin seriously enough. We don't take sin seriously enough. Now, some of us may have grown up in a, what we call hellfire and brimstone sort of background, and there are some unhealthy aspects of that. But I think we've kind of swung to the other end of the spectrum where we just don't take sin seriously enough. We think we sort of dabble in it. Now, if you like food like me, I dabble in chips and salsa. And I always say to myself, I'll just eat a few chips, right? See, the people who make these chips, they know that there is no such thing as just eating a few chips, okay? And so when I say, well, I'll just eat a few chips, it won't be that bad. A few chips, I mean, what's a few chips going to be? A few chips becomes like three baskets, So that we treat sin like this. We think in our focus on ourselves that we can just sort of dabble in it and it won't hurt us. That's challenging when we're pursuing holiness. Holiness is who God is. That's where holiness starts. Holiness is who God is. Holiness is not just one attribute of God. It is the essence of God. God can never not be holy. The word holy means to be set apart, to be wholly holy, get to see what I did there, distinct and separate from the others. And God is completely distinct and unique and set apart. He is other. We call it His otherness, is that He is God and He is perfect and He is holy and completely other than us. And here's the thing, and sometimes this is hard to swallow, but if God is holy, because God is holy, all of His actions towards me are just and perfect. Let me say that again. Because God is holy, all of His actions towards me are always perfect. Now, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah, think about it. If we believe that God has an unjust action towards us, that God has treated us unjustly or unfairly, doesn't that mean that we are now questioning whether or not He's really holy? Because if God has an unjust or imperfect action, that would affect His essence of holiness. But it's not just an attribute, it's the very essence of who God is. It's sort of like this. Maybe in your house, like mine, we have our regular dishes. And we have the same dishes that we got for our wedding, Megan and I. We're in our 8th year of marriage. And we still have the same dishes, multicolored. I don't know, there's a term for them, but same ones. But, you know, these are the dishes that we can just do whatever with. You know, we can squirt ketchup all over them. Some of them have little nicks and scrapes and even little sections where they've been, you know, broken off. These are just the dishes that we use every single day. We, if one drops and breaks, I mean, yeah, it's kind of ultimately, it doesn't really matter because these are just part of our everyday life. And then there are other dishes. And maybe in your house you have some dishes like this. We have other dishes. They're in a separate room. They are in a separate cabinet. And those dishes only find their way out maybe one or two times a year. You have dishes like this? And if you go into that room where those dishes are and you get them out and you just put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on it, you can expect wrath, fire, holiness. That's what God's holiness is like. It is like the dishes that are completely separate and unique and set apart. And here's the thing. I don't think any of us would argue even with the concept of God's holiness. That's maybe the easier thing to accept, that yeah, God is holy. I mean, He's perfect, and even though we struggle sometimes with the way He seemingly might treat us unjustly, we can genuinely sort of be on the same page with God's holiness. But then God takes it a little bit further. 1 Peter 1. Verse 15, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Okay, now you've just gotten personal, right? I mean, yeah, it's one thing to acknowledge God's holiness, that God is, He's other up there, creator of heaven and earth, majestic and powerful, all-knowing, always present. And then, just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Holiness is what God expects from us. Exodus 15 says, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Holiness is what God requires of us. Now, I got to admit, when I wrote this line, what God requires of us, I sort of had a hesitation. Because I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to be received. But I believe this is what God requires of us. I believe holiness is not an option, in other words. It's not like, you know, we can maybe, if we desire, we'll choose to pursue holiness. It is what God requires of us. Listen, God in His holiness cannot be, part of the essence of holiness is that He cannot be in the presence of anything that is not holy. That's what it means to be holy, that He cannot be in, He cannot even come near the presence of sin. But God says, be holy because I am holy. Now that seems like maybe he's just having a moment where, you know, the standard is a little bit unrealistic. I mean, isn't that, I mean, can't we just say, okay, God, you know, you're holy, but you're God, and I'm just little old me, and I'm just trying to figure out this thing at work or in my marriage or family. You know, for you to ask me to be holy and require me to be holy, that seems like a standard that is unreachable, like we said earlier. Holiness is what God requires of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And around this verse in 1 Thessalonians, Paul's sort of painting this picture, this contrast between the holy life and the life of impurity. See, because I believe that one of the things that makes this so challenging, along with it being unattainable seemingly and sort of like in this moral legalistic category, is that many times our life has no contrast to a life outside of Jesus. If you want to sort of take a quick self-assessment here to ask yourself, is my life as a Christ follower really that different from others around me? That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians. He's talking about this life of impurity, and he's painting this contrast that God did not call us to this life. He called us to live a holy life. And so how? See, because I want us to walk away today not with just this sort of, you know, positive, encouraging idea about God's holiness, and even to take the next step and go, well, yeah, God has called us to be holy, and yeah, I know I should be holy, and oh, it was a great Sunday. I want us to walk away encouraged and motivated and convicted to pursue holiness. How do you pursue holiness? I think holiness and the pursuit of holiness involves two things. One, it's God's part. God has a part to play in holiness. But we also have a part to play. So I think many of us think, well, okay, it's just kind of like everything else. I just sort of like trust God to make me holy. And, you know, I just sort of sit around and just, you know, God just makes me holy. And we just trust Him. And that there's nothing that we do. And God's part opens the door for us to pursue holiness. And His part is conquering the results of sin in our life. The thing that you come back to, that you cannot shake, that you seemingly like, you come in here and you're like, man, I'm really wrestling with this sin over and over again, and I can't seem to shake it. Ultimately, God has taken care of the end game of that and said, that's not going to ultimately defeat you. God has erased the reign of sin. That's the first major thing. The second thing He's done is that He's united us with Jesus. Romans is all about this. Paul says, look, in Jesus' death, God has united you with Jesus in His death, meaning all the benefits of Jesus' death are now given to you. The major one being the effects of sin, that ultimately sin does not have the final answer, the final victory over you. The third thing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So God has done away with the ultimate reign of sin. He's united us with Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit to now have the power to do our part. What's our part? Romans 6:12, I'm going to read that. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, always go back one verse. So I put verse 12 on there, but I wanted to just read verse 11. What's there before the therefore? He says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you want to think about the pursuit of holiness, it begins with being dead to sin. If you're a Christ follower, if you have Jesus in your life, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are dead to sin. Because of that, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. That is our part. So my part is twofold. It's conviction and commitment. Conviction and commitment. Are you convinced that pursuing a life of holiness is worth the effort of dealing with sin? Are you convinced that pursuing a life of holiness is worth the effort and the pain of dealing with sin? I want to encourage you, because there has been a time in my life where I did not consider holiness to be worth the pain of dealing with sin. But you know what? The pain of sin was way worse. The pain of sin is a lot worse than the pain of pursuing holiness. And some of us maybe in the room today are sort of dabbling in sin, thinking that it's only a little bit, it's not going to hurt us, it's only like, you know, I can manage this. And that is nothing other than the deception of the enemy saying, oh, you can handle this. And maybe there's a relationship that is about to fall apart, maybe there's a situation that is you're headed in that direction, and I just want to encourage you to stop. Conviction means that we have the motivation to pursue obedience. And primarily that motivation comes through Scripture. Comes through Scripture. When we are open and God reveals to us the areas of our life that we're not obedient. See, that's one of the things that Scripture does. It reveals to us the areas of our life that we're not obedient. By the way, obedience gets a bad rap. Because I think sometimes when we say obedience, we have this image of like God is, you know, he's like a principal or a disappointed parent waiting for us to mess up and saying, oh, there you go again. Told you. But obedience is the pathway to holiness. And conviction comes when God convicts us through the word that we are missing out on his best for us. And how are you convicted by the word? You have to be exposed to the word. You have to open the word. I want to encourage you, if you've never memorized Scripture, to make that a point this week to just memorize Scripture. Take two or three verses and just write them down on a note card. Put them on your dashboard, put them at home, in the kitchen, wherever, where you can see them and commit them to memory. Conviction is the first thing. I want to ask you, are you willing to give up a certain practice or habit that's keeping you from holiness? I don't have to go down a list here because you know what that is, because I believe the Spirit is putting that in your mind right now. Are you willing to give up a certain practice or habit that is keeping you from holiness? So Friday night, Megan and I were eating out in Canton, and we were at this little Italian restaurant, which was kind of amazing. That this little Italian restaurant that's so good is in downtown Canton, but hey, it's amazing. And the guy that is the co-owner, he was very talkative, as Italians are, I guess. Mario was his name. And, you know, at first we were talking to him about the menu, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about going gluten-free, which I spoke, you know, just, I don't know, I don't think I'm going to do it in hindsight. It's not because of allergies, it's maybe a preference. And so he's going over the thing, well, we can make almost anything gluten-free, but honestly, like, the gluten-free pasta is just not that good. Maybe you could start tomorrow. You know, and I'm trying to make good choices with my eating. This is day two, by the way. So very early in the gluten-free process, which I have since quit. I was gluten-free for 18 hours. I wouldn't recommend it unless someone tells you you have to or your life will be over. So he's going over the menu and he says, you know, we can make almost anything gluten-free, but honestly, it's just not as good. You can start tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, I can start tomorrow. Yeah. He's like, you can start tomorrow. Just, you're here. You deserve to have this amazing meal here tonight. You can start that gluten-free stuff tomorrow. I was like, yeah, you're right, Mario. Mario was so convincing. I thought we were friends. It was like, you know, he was going to invite me over to family dinner. I began to trust Mario's words. And let me tell you, I mean, that you know, all the gluten tasted really good in that pasta. But I think that's how we treat sin. And we dabble in sin. We say, oh, you know, I can start this whole pursuit of holiness tomorrow. And I just want to encourage you, tomorrow is not a guarantee. And I'm not trying to be morbid. But God has not called us to treat sin like we can just start dealing with it tomorrow. He calls us to deal with it today. And that's where commitment comes in. Paul says in the very next verse, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. I'm not a cultural prognosticator, but I believe we're entering a time in history where God is calling us back to holiness. He's calling His people to pursue holiness with conviction and commitment. I want to wrap it up, but I love what Jackie Hill Perry says. She says, we will want and choose to put to death what is earthly in us when we believe God is infinitely better than everything we are tempted to leave Him for. So I just want to leave you with that today. Do you believe that God is better than what is keeping you from a life of holiness? You may not believe it right now, but I believe it for you. And I don't know your exact circumstance, but I believe that God is infinitely better than the thing that is tempting you to move away from Him. So my prayer is that we would collectively pursue holiness, not as an obligation or a duty, but that would be the path to joy. Holiness leads to joy. So Jesus says in John 15, in His prayer, He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And He says that my joy is going to be complete when they find me. True joy is found in Him. And holiness is the path to that joy. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that your Spirit would come near to us right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We ask that you would push back any discouragement, any disillusionment, any effort of the enemy right now to remove the words, your words, from our minds and hearts that lead to repentance, that lead to conviction. But Father, we ask that you would renew us in the next moments, that we would not just see this as a thing we do on Sunday morning, but a path to encounter you. We ask, Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would convict us. That we would be moved to turn away from that thing that we're tempted to leave you for and turn towards you. That's what repentance is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.